Stand by for the latest episode of the Signal 50 podcast with your hosts, Bravo and Alpha, two lifelong friends that swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Stand by for broadcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for joining us. It's the end of July 2023, and I'm here with my good friend, Bravo. Bravo, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Wanted to wish my mom a happy birthday. Forgot it was her birthday today, so happy birthday to my mom. And I better call her after the show. Don't let me forget, my friend.
I won't. Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Signal 50 podcast. Got to apologize a little bit for the last episode. We had a little technical difficulty. Apparently, my microphone was not connected properly, and deeply sorry about that. And we're also working with some new hardware here again today, and it seems to be fair. Don't laugh at me.
It's a piece of fruit. You don't like it. I get it. All right, anyway.
It is a piece of fruit, and I'm really displeased with it.
Oh, give it a chance. Anyway, hey, wanted to also let everyone know that Kilo is on special assignment. He wanted to be with us today, but he can't because he's learning the DIE agenda because he has to. So he's going
to
bring us
Do we need to stage a hostage rescue to get him out of there?
I was ready to bring in Delta Force, but the DIE agenda, the diversity, inclusion, and equity... Anyway, he will give us a report of what happened last time when he gets here next week. So that's where he is today. But we love having Kilo there.
I assure you his head is exploding as we speak.
Yes. Right. Yes, but we need more Democrats for their heads to explode because what's going on today, my friend? We're going to talk about it here on the Signal 50 podcast, the hashtag Hard Truth, for the things that no one else talks about, but we will. There we go.
Boy, I really wish, I wish we could have blamed all of the previous hot summers that we've had on global warming.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. What about the really hot summers in the 70s when they said it was global cooling?
They got that thing wrong, too. And didn't we see today that the weather, by the way, the storm just passed through. It was a gorgeous day. I went for a bike ride, and it was fantastic. It was cool outside. It was nice and comfortable. The sun was out. The blue skies are out. This is the kind of weather I love. I will say to you that it's all a big psyop about the weather right now. They are futzing around with the weather, the norms. They're crying wolf again. And please, everyone, do not fall for it. They manipulated the maps on the weather stations. They're talking about it 24/7 because what we really want to talk about today has been going on. But they've been futzing around with the maps and making them reds and oranges instead of yellows, which is what the temperature really averages of 80, highest 95. Big deal.
Well, wait a minute. I remember, we both grew up in upstate New York when we were kids. And generally speaking, we didn't get, scalding hot weather on the norm, right? But when we were kids 20, 30, 40 years ago, I can certainly remember some really hot temperatures, right?
Yes.
I mean, like 90, 94, 95, we went to school with no air conditioning.
Right.
In that weather.
My house didn't have air conditioning either in the beginning until my parents put it in. So we were dealing with, you had to use a wet towel to go to bed with because it was so hot out. You put a cool towel on you to cool you off. Go figure. Nowadays, everyone has air conditioning. So
now it's global warming.
It's global crap warning.
Global bullshit warming. That's right. It's just ridiculous.
So we're going to give the weather people on TV the BS buzzer because they deserve it. They're full of it. Anyway, we'll tell you what the weather is. You got a window? Open it.
It's just unbelievable. Well, so Kilo's, he's in captivity this week.
That's correct.
That's unfortunate for him.
On a weekend, no less, which is chutzpah on their part.
So they literally tie him up and they teach him about the diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda. Huh? They're really drilling that into him as a person of what he does.
I'm looking forward to his report next week. And he will be happy to share it with us. And I'm sure we'll be rolling on the floor laughing because
Well, the problem
you'll be
is
crying not, if you're not.
Well, the problem is it's not funny because these people are deadly serious. They're convinced.
It's a cult. What do you think it is?
Of course it's a cult. You know, I mean, geez, they're going to be teaching in business schools what happened to Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light for all eternity.
So the question I have is, will they learn from their mistake?
No, they have not learned from their mistake.
Well, I guess we'll just have to keep crying the hard truth about it because I'm not following it. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. And well, sir, no thank you.
No, not good.
Anyway, so, but the other part of that piece of this diversity, inclusion, and equity, which is the DEI agenda, the Supreme Court already ruled on that, if I'm not mistaken, for the colleges. Is that correct?
Yeah. Affirmative action's kind of gone. It's not a thing anymore.
That's right. But is it?
They got rid of that racist legislation.
That's right. But someone tell the American College of Emergency Physicians and the American Medical Association and all the other associations where healthcare providers join to get the latest information on how to best treat patients and evidence-based medicine, things that I was teaching in my graduate medical program that I was teaching at and the things I practiced for my whole career in the ER and on the ambulance and everything else like that. What are they worried about right now? They're worried about writing a censure letter to the Supreme Court about the fact that we shouldn't be, you know, they shouldn't be turning back all this progress that they've had with admissions, because admissions based on race, ethnicity, gender, all that other nonsense is more important than quality people that can do the job and do it well. So I tell the American Medical Association, American College of Emergency Physicians, and all the rest of you, you get the BS buzzer today too, because no one really cares what you think. And it's, oh, by the way, SCOTUS trumps all of you. There you have it.
Well, talk about, you know, a danger to democracy.
But we're a republic, no. Last time I checked.
That's right.
Yeah.
But anyhow, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. These are the same people that told us to stay 6 feet apart and the vaccination would be good for you and to wear masks in your office and natural immunity is not a thing. So you know what? They can stick it in their ass. I'm not listening to them anymore.
And by the way, that was all debunked. Every single thing you just said everything you said about it was all debunked. And anyone that writes to me and says, I don't believe you, I will send you the information. You can look it up yourself and read it all you want. I'm telling you right now, the 6 feet number was pulled out of the rectal orifice. The idea that masks work pulled it out of the rectal orifice. I can't tell you enough.
Have you ever heard of a PADOMA research study? PADOMA.
I believe it's research based on what you want to have done or have seen happen. You know,
Exactly.
It's a fixed study. That's where it's really the easiest way to put it. It's fixed.
Yeah, it's called a PADOMA. It's called pulled directly out of my ass. PADOMA. And that's what they did. They wanted the outcome. You were right. I talked to you about this before. Yep.
I'm trying to be scientific here, and you just pulled.
Those days are over,
dude. I'm sorry. A PADOMA pulled right out of my ass. That's what they did.
Pulled directly out of my ass. Pulled it right out of thin air. They made it all up, and they got everybody hot and bothered about it, and they ruined a society over their bullshit.
That's right.
So you know what? They're not off the hook with me ever.
Ever, never. CDC, after they came out with their chest feeding BS and that mail.
That's it.
You lost me back in the lockdown BS. And by the way, as long as we're on the topic, Moderna was just forced to release all of their information about the adverse effects and how 90% of the people that received that so-called vaccine, which was not a vaccine, it was a death shot, they had a 4.74% death rate also.
And it's very important that we talk about what that is, though. What does that mean? Okay, so Bravo and I did a project. If you're just joining us, about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
Right. You can find it on the signal50.com. Signal50.com It's free. We don't want any money. Our names aren't on it because we want our discussion and our facts to stand for what it is. That has nothing to do with what my experiences are.
All right. So we spent a lot of time analyzing a lot of data, and the data that we had available to us at the time was not necessarily complete. So we had to make some assumptions. And as it turns out, you know, not trying to break our arms, patting ourselves on the back, we were pretty close. Now, when we're talking about the adverse events, everybody's heard of VAERS and this, that, and the other thing. A serious adverse event with the vaccine would be anything like myocarditis or endocarditis.
Sudden death,
serious clotting, stroke, heart attack, very serious things that it can be directly or sometimes even a little bit indirectly attributed to as a secondary effect of the vaccine. That was given to them because, you know, for reasons, and it was perfectly safe, you know, and very effective.
Supposedly.
It was neither. We calculated a death rate over 2% of people that had serious adverse reactions back then, and they were hiding a lot of data, so we had to think long and hard about it. And as it really turns out, what's the number?
4.74%. This is from Dr. McCullough. He was on with Dan Bongino. He was talking about the studies that just came out, and once you know it, 4.74% people dead after receiving the shot within a month. Now, the nice thing that what Dr. McCullough did say...
4.74% of people that had a reaction that would be categorized as serious.
Yes. Yep. Now, Dr. McCullough did say that if it didn't happen within 2 months and you didn't get any more boosters, you're pretty much free and clear. Long-term effects are still being studied. But right now, the body can adjust from what he was saying.
Well, basically what that means is Dr. McCullough came out and told everybody that this vaccine was so inconsistent in its being non-homogeneous, which is
not the same.
Everybody understands what homogeneous milk is, right? It means it's got this every it has the equal amount of milligrams per deciliter of milk substance in there, protein, lipids, vitamins, etc. Now the vaccine, now not so much. Some people got the bottom of the barrel and they're getting nailed and dead, right? You have certain people that had no side effects or very mild side effects. Those people are okay. And there are people that had absolutely zero side effects whatsoever. They probably just got the fluid carrier that was carrying the nanolipid particles and the mRNA.
Hey, you know what? And you know, Alpha, the numbers that go with that? One third. A third of them got really, really sick or really, really dead. The second third had some adverse effects.
Nothing terribly serious. Nothing
terrible, but had side effects that I wouldn't want. And then a third of the people that received the shot didn't have anything. Said, what the hell is this all about? So there you have it. I guess they didn't shake the bottle very well.
Yeah. So basically, you could divide the vaccinated population into thirds, 33, 33, 33.
Yeah.
Right? That received Moderna or Pfizer at this point.
Right.
It's six of one, half dozen of the other.
Right.
The numbers kind of track between both brands, right? They're both pretty similar, substantially similar. So you've got a substantially similar result, okay? So 4% of the bottom third, that would be a third of the people had serious adverse effects. So 4% of those people or more are dead.
Correct.
How do you like that?
I don't like it at all, sir. And remember, everyone, they said it was safe and effective. The CDC even changed the definition for a vaccine to accommodate this nonsense because they were trying. See, everyone's upset at Trump because he let this go through. I got to call BS on that because President Trump didn't make everyone get it. If you want it, you go get it. If you don't want it, don't go get it. And every other vaccine, pneumonia vaccines and everything else, are given to the elderly or the really sick. And that, you know, that's typically what happened. But when Biden took over in January of 2021, what happened, Alpha? He said everyone has to get it. And then he put pressure on the FAA, he put pressure on this and the pressure on that, because the government technically can't tell us what to do, but they tried to anyway in the name of public
safety. They wrote it into government contracts that all your people have to be 100% compliant with vaccinations.
That's right.
Okay. You are not eligible for award of contracts unless your people are completely compliant.
So they did it in a roundabout way, in a deceitful way, and now the chickens are coming home to roost, and that's what we're seeing right now. So please, everyone, do the research. Don't take our words for it. It's out there. It's as clear as day. There you have it.
Next time somebody says, "I'm from the government, I'm here to help,"
go screw yourself there, government.
Yeah, get away from me. Don't want you anywhere near me. Get away from me.
All right.
But yeah, that's basically where we're at, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I mean, that's a whole lot right there, isn't it?
It's disgusting. And again, we got a preliminary reporting, and the end that we had was pretty darn close. But we didn't know how many of the sample that we were studying gave us, because they didn't give us the number. We went high and through all that data, and they didn't tell us the true end. So we had to extrapolate based on the death rates from the life insurance actuarial information. So
looking at the number that they have presented and the number that we have presented, the data that we had jibes with their data.
That's correct.
Had we had a full set of data, the assumptions we made were correct.
Correct.
Had we had a full set of data, we would have come with the same number that they did.
That's right. They just had it.
What we developed at the time we developed it was accurate and tracked.
Right.
So it wasn't terribly difficult for a couple of idiots like us to figure this out. Why can't these big brains in the government have figured it out? Oh,
because they didn't want to. Right. Exactly. Ding, 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 ding.
We did it for free. They get $250,000 a year cushy salaries working for the government out of your paycheck. How's that make you feel?
Right. So a couple of idiots
with an Excel spreadsheet and a calculator and a pencil and a little bit of logic figured this stuff out. And I think that was the fastest part of the whole deal,
right,
was doing the math. I think it took us like 6 or 8 hours total to really review the math, look at it, make adjustments.
Right.
It took us like 3 weeks to do to write
it up. Now, again, go to
around Signal 50. The data.
Yeah, go to signal50.com. Read it for yourself. All the references we used are there. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think. Write to us. Stop by the website. Take a look. Or if you're curious, just give us an email, and I'll be happy to send it to you.
You bet. Well, you know, the heat is on in D.C. in more ways than one. It's been, you know, swampy here, and you just get, you know, gold bond powder is rare to find. There's a shortage of gold bond right now, and if you can use cornstarch too, you know. But it's hot here in more ways than one. I think that the Biden family, I think they find themselves in quite the little spot, don't they?
Well, it looks like the prosecution and the defense, shall I say the magic word, collusion, went to a judge to do the plea bargain, and the deal that you and I heard about at first, where there were no felonies, there were no gun charges, it was just misdemeanor oopsies, you know, just for whatever. And the judge said, get the hell out of my courtroom. I'm not allowing this to go through. And it shot, and it all came from Hunter Biden when asked directly by the judge, do you understand what you're pleading to? And he says, no. And then people started digging into this, and I guess the judge must have dug into it also. And when she asked, what do you mean I'm giving immunity for any other future possibility of crime that could happen? I wonder who can do that, Alpha. I think it's the president. And
she can't.
She can't, but she was about to. That's the thing that would get this judge really pissed off. What's a rule? I know there's a rule in medicine. You don't piss off the nurses because they'll make your life a living hell while you're working. So you don't piss off nurses. It's not nice to piss off anybody, but especially don't piss off the nurses. Isn't there a rule in the law, not that I practice law, don't piss off the judge?
I think that's called don't shit where you eat.
Ah, thank you very much. Yes, that's what it is.
And now, these attorneys from both the DOJ and Hunter Biden's side, they got together, they cooked up this little scheme to protect daddy. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, this whole plea agreement lays out a statement of guilt of accepting money from China and a bunch of other places, Ukraine, this, that, and the other thing, you know, and it just lays it all out. It lays it bare. And the funniest part about the whole thing is he was never arraigned. He was never arraigned.
Never
arraigned. And he was never indicted. Pardon me. He was never indicted.
Oh, I was going to say it turned into arraignment. It turned into an arraignment because now he said just not guilty, but there's no charges. What charges are they talking about?
The charges that are laid out in the agreement. She must have said, what do you plead? How do you plead to these charges? Well, not guilty. Okay, cool. I guess we're going to trial.
Oh, but there was never an indictment, was there?
Mm-mm.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, felonies are what grand juries put down as indictments.
You don't have to go to a grand jury all the time to get an indictment for a felony.
All right. I thought you do. Certain, some
not always. I'm hey, not
if you're
sure
a lawyer out there, help correct us because I don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But
I know you don't need you don't need an indictment for a traffic violation. You know,
well, they charged him. They charged him with a felony, according, federal felonies. They charged him. So.
So how the deal, so the way it was left,
they
was,
were felonies, yeah. And they pled them down to misdemeanors.
Right. So he went back to they went back to the felonies.
They have to go back to the felonies.
So now
you get the book thrown at you if you change your plea.
Mm-hmm. And that's
this
what
is garbage. How do you plead? Not guilty. Cool.
So it's going to be a trial.
It could be a trial.
Well,
or they could go back to the drawing board. I don't know.
So the problem is the prosecution could drop it all. They could just drop it and say, oh, we're not going to do anything. Well, that's going to backfire.
Well, that wouldn't be good.
Right.
Well, look, the point that's this whole nuance and this whole mess that drug-addled piece of shit is getting this country dragged into is not really the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is the blatant corruption that is on display for all of America to see right in front of your very eyes. Let me ask you a question, Bravo.
Hmm.
What happens if you don't file your taxes for a few years, especially with that level of cash involved?
The last time I checked, that is failure to file a tax return, which then means you were trying to evade taxes.
Correct.
Which is a felony, the last time I checked.
Evasion and failure to file, I don't know if they're the same or different charges or one leads to the next.
Well, let me clarify.
It's a whole lot of problems.
Right, because you and I pay our taxes begrudgingly and upsettively. We upsettively, is that a word? Well, I just made it up. But, I'm not happy I have to pay my taxes because the government takes the money and takes a crap on it and throws it in the toilet bowl. So I get it. But how come Hunter doesn't have to follow those rules? Because there's two standards of justice in this country, shall I say?
Well, I think you're 100%. Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, they're in the court of public opinion now. They're out on Front Street, and there's nobody that's paying attention that can't see what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Because your average, Joe Schmo American is going to look at this and say, what the shit is this? This doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's corruption on display. The DOJ tried to pull a fast one with Hunter's attorneys. I said it before. I think we said it in a previous show. I said, I don't think that there's any way that this judge can sign a plea agreement with him that reduces felonies to misdemeanors. There's got to be a gotcha in there somewhere.
Well, honestly, when you said that, I disagree with you because I felt the judge was just going to say, "Yep, okay," and sign it. I mean, I'm glad she read it. Don't get me wrong. Believe me, I'm not implying that all judges just sign their name and don't pay attention to what they're signing. I did say that out loud, didn't I? But anyway, she read it and she asked the question. Well, and I guess if Biden would have just sat there and said, "Yes, I understand what I'm signing," it would have been over with.
No? I think she read it. She's like you and I. Yeah. We don't ask questions we don't already know the answers to. So if you think that judge just learned about that shit sit there on the bench the other day.
Right. Mm-mm.
She's had a while to read it and go, yeah.
How about the fact that Biden was also going to have to, and this is Hunter now, was going to have to stay away from drugs, have to stay away from any criminal activity, have to stay in the country.
Uh-huh.
Was that the thing that he didn't want to say yes to?
No, that was the conditions after he changed his plea.
Oh, that was after the okay, thank you.
Well, so my contention in the very beginning of this thing is, with a felony diversion for a gun crime, there are some conditions that go with that. And I was sitting there saying, I'm going to absolutely insist that if we're going to divert you from these kinds of things, you're going to undergo drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, guess what he gets with his I'm not guilty and the conditions of his release pending re-examination of the circumstances are? You're going to get drug tested.
Oh.
So that plea is going to fall apart anyways because there's no way he's going to piss clean.
And that's why they couldn't find anyone that belonged to the cocaine in the White House.
Bingo.
Ding, 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 ding. See? There's the hard
truth.
That's
what I said.
There.
That's what I said from minute one.
Yeah.
The minute they found that cocaine, I'm like, oh, there goes his plea deal.
That's right.
Because he's dirty. I said it. I said it out loud. I said it on the podcast. I'll say it again. It is a different set of standards between you, me, and them. Okay. And everybody sees it. It's absurd.
It is. And you're right. I was wrong on this one because I thought the judge was just going to sign off on it and it would be business as usual. But kudos to that judge. I'm glad she paid attention and did her job. God bless her. And I hope she sticks to her guns. That's all I got.
So if I lied on a federal form 4473 to purchase a firearm, right? Mm-hmm. And I was a self-admitted drug user, and I answered the question, which is one of the questions on the 4473, untruthfully. That is a crime punishable by up to, I believe, 10 years in prison.
10 years, 5 years, something like that.
Something like that. I think it might be five or 10. Pardon me, the NFA violations, it can be 10 years. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. So if I were to lie on that form and I got caught, and he was a self-admitted drug user, a prohibited person.
Okay? Prohibited person.
He was a prohibited person, according to federal statute. If that were you or me, we'd be sitting in a cooler right now.
Yep.
We'd still be sitting in the cooler.
Right.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not get a sweet deal.
Right.
Get lawfare to death.
That's correct. You are correct,
I know sir. People. I know people personally that are going through lawfare right now on similar things. And I have news for you: if the government wants to put the wood to you, they can. This guy, they gave him a walk, and the judge smelled a rat and said, "No way." How can she, in good conscience, sign off on that, knowing full well that she's put kids that don't have jack shit, a pot to piss in, or a window to throw it out? They get caught in possession of a firearm. She throws him in prison for 5 years, minimum, mandatory.
Right. And by the way, you're talking about process and about, you know, precedent and all this other stuff. January 6th protesters are still in jail. None of them had a gun. Isn't that interesting? Not one of them had a gun.
Well, those are misdemeanors, remember?
Oh, it's different. I see, said the blind man. That's so. Right. Because they're misdemeanors, how come they're sitting in jail over the last 2 years without due process?
Because they're not Democrats.
Ah, there. Thank you. So there's another justification that there's two systems of justice in this country. One's for Democrats, one for everyone else.
Well, it's makes me amazing.
Sick. Makes me sick.
I don't know. We got to move on here a little bit. Everybody's real tired of it. But basically, the bottom line is you're right. There's two systems of justice in this country, and it depends on who you vote for and who you donate to. Okay. Right. So
it's
crazy.
And here at the Signal 50 podcast, what you're listening to is what Alpha and I talk about all the time. We would be on the phone and we'd say, what's going on with this and all this other kind of stuff. We're lifelong friends, and we said, hey, let's do it as a podcast. It sounds kind of interesting, and we're having a lot of fun with it. So there you have it.
You bet. So it's time to move forward here a little bit. I want to throw something in on you, Bravo, that just came to mind.
All right.
You know, we sit here and very rarely do we get a look at the inside of how the sausage factory works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a podcaster out there, never, a lot of people have heard of him. His name is Sean Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former Navy SEAL, CIA guy. He did some YouTube videos a number of years ago. I think I talked about him before.
Right.
I didn't really appreciate the way he came across, and he was just terrible and abrasive and just not great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of somebody who understands probably as much, if not more than him, about certain things. He just came across badly, and I just blew him off. Well, about a year ago, maybe a little less, he started a podcast called The Sean Ryan Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I just can't. This guy, I can't. Well, I tell you what, he really found his stride.
Mm-hmm.
And he does some great interviews. And I would encourage everybody, he had a congressman on. He's a freshman congressman. His name is Eli Crane. Have you heard of Eli Crane?
I have heard of Eli Crane, yes.
Yeah. And you expect like a conservative, you know, former Navy SEAL. Eli Crane was a former SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
To be all chest poundy and boastful on the program and maybe walk things out a little too far or to be other than what he is. He did an interview with him, about a 2.5-hour interview with Eli Crane. And I've been taking it in little chunks. You have to go listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely a fascinating interview.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Crane really lays it out. You know, he's very careful about some of the things he says.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to understand how the inside of the sausage factory is working, I highly recommend that you go spend a couple of hours and you listen to that podcast with Eli Crane. And it's as bad as we think it is, just much different in a mm-hmm. different way. And all of the things that he was thinking are definitely true. So go check that out.
What's the name of that podcast again?
The Sean Ryan Show.
Sean Ryan Show.
S-E-A-N. Yep, Sean Ryan.
S-E-A-N or S-H-A-W-N?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Let me check. You know, look, I just threw that in there because very rarely do we get the look inside the sausage factory.
Right.
And with all this craziness going on, you really need to go listen to what he has to say. It's very telling. And I think he's one of those guys that's uncorruptible.
Mm.
I truly believe it. I think that he's a man of deep faith, Eli Crane. I mean, a lot of these guys that spent time in harm's way, they really find God mm-hmm. and they stay there and good for them. I think that's what saves their life. I don't think this guy's full of shit. Not like Dan Crenshaw's full of shit.
Mm. Dan Crenshaw.
So I would encourage you to go listen to Sean Ryan, S-H-A-W-N Ryan. It's Cumulus Podcast Network, the Sean Ryan Show, Sean Ryan Show.
All right.
He does a great program. Next, moving along. So thanks, everybody. So trot out the UFOs, huh?
Well, when you can't talk about the truth and you want to hide something, bring out something that's totally preposterous and talk about UFOs or whatever they're calling them now. What is it?
UAPs.
UAPs, unidentified.
Yes. I don't know. I have no idea what aircraft they're calling them this week.
Preposterous. Forget yeah. it. I don't even know what a UAPs mean. UFOs.
I don't even know either.
I mean, I remember watching some great movies when I was growing up, like Independence Day. That was Tom Cruise redid War of the Worlds, and the UFOs came down. Of course, Star Wars, but there were never any UFOs here in the country. But it would be kind of cool to go on hyperdrive. Of course, Star Trek, where you talk about warp drives and warp factor 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they went as high as 12. Anyway, would it be cool to go from here to Saturn in like 10 minutes? Great. But right now, we don't have the technology. But you were saying before the show, Alpha, you know, this universe is so vast and so big, and it takes so long to get from place to place. You don't think someone else is more advanced than we are? They can find their way to this little speck of a planet. They got good GPS, I guess.
Well, I think that I would have to think that there are civilizations out there in the vastness that are, you know, significantly more advanced than we are.
And they can stay there if it was up to me, because I'm sure they're much more advanced than we are. And if they decided to come here, either they're going to pass by the planet saying we're all a bunch of Looney Tunes, or they're going to say, we need their water. They got a lot of it, and we use salt water, so we're going to just go take it. And do you think our F-22s and all that other stuff are going to stop laser beams and fast-moving ships and all this other stuff?
Hell yeah, man. America.
Yeah. Like independence.
America. But America.
But you bring up a good point.
We'll send in Russell Cates. He'll be fine. It's fine.
But you're right. They bring this up. Why? All of a sudden. Because they're
distraction.
Distraction. Squirrel.
Didn't they do the same hearing the last time this kind of heated up in Congress?
That's right.
Okay. Now, let's not be too hard on the thought that we might not be alone in the universe, and we might not even be alone on this planet. Mm-hmm. Let's not leave that out of the realm of the possible. So you're an aviation guy. Right. I know you are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions now that I would like for you to answer, please.
Now, just so everyone knows, I'm a private pilot. That means I fly very nice weather, only when it's nice, because I could land by instruments if I really had to, but I'm not supposed to. That's how it works. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so you're an aviation guy. I know you like military aircraft.
Yep, always have.
Always have, always will. So let's talk a little bit about some technology that doesn't make any freaking sense how it got here. Okay, so in what year did they start the prototyping of the SR-71?
1960-something?
Uh-uh.
50-something?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. They have to design these things. You're right.
Yeah.
Now, the SR-71 was around when we were young kids.
Oh, no. The SR-71 had already been in service for 20 years when we were kids.
That's what I'm saying. It was around when we were around.
Well,
as kids.
15 years. Yeah, right. Yeah,
and correct. I remember reading about it and excited to find out it had ramjets, which if anyone's curious what a ramjet is versus your commercial airliner, it has a turbo jet, you know, like it has fans and all that.
Turbo fans.
But this is a ramjet. It's so high up and the air is so, the oxygen molecules are so far away, it has to ram them close together and then it burns. Now, that was a technology back in the 70s. That was like the latest and greatest hot stuff since ever. But what do they have now?
Thanks to the aliens? Wait, this was late 50s technology, big boy.
Okay, got it.
Just remember now, the first fighter jet was seen only a mere 14 years earlier over the skies in Germany.
Okay. That's right. So, it was World War II.
That's right.
Yes.
So you've got bypass jet technology being put on a plane in the 50s, mm-hmm. made out of a material that nobody really knew how to work with, put together in such a way and understanding all of the air friction coefficients and all the prototypes that came before that when they get this thing up to operating temperature, what does the skin of the aircraft get up to?
Spreads out. Doesn't leak any more fuel either.
Correct.
On the ground,
it leaks. What temperature does the surface of that aircraft get at cruising speed and altitude?
I don't know that.
It's ridiculous.
It's hot.
It's like 800 or 900 degrees.
You could fire a piece of one of my art pieces when I was a kid, the clay pieces, they put it in a kiln, that'll take care of it there.
Yeah, I think it's like 800 or 900 degrees. I could be wrong. It could be more. Okay, it's incredible. How in the 50s? How in the wide world of sports did they calculate that material, and how did they work with it, and how did they fit it together, and how did they beat? You know, we had just recently broken the sound barrier. Chuck Yeager flew in a jet or a rocket that they dropped off the bottom of a B-29.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Glamorous Glennis, made by the Bell Aircraft Company, with a nitrous oxide rocket in it.
Was it an X-1?
Yes. Yeah. That was the X-1.
Yep.
He broke the sound barrier just not too many years before that.
Right.
How did we go from there using a mop handle to shut the door because he broke his ribs?
Right.
To we can fly at 250,000 feet at Mach 5.
Is it 250,000? It's 100,000.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's 100,000. Anyway,
guys. 100,000. They can they can fly through the stratosphere with that plane all in the 60s.
Right.
How did we get there?
Someone was really smart. Or we stole it from someone.
Who was really smart, time ago, who inserted that technology in the timeline where they thought it might fit.
Hmm.
To be plausible.
Right. Because now
I still think it's not plausible.
Fast forward to today, because the whole idea of scramjets, which is the latest technology that was seen on Top Gun Maverick, we do have scramjets.
Yes, there are scramjets. Yeah, sure. And it was also on the SR-71. It's the same idea.
That was a ramjet. It was different. A little bit different. Anyway. It took a lot of fuel to get that thing up there. Then it had to refuel once it got up to altitude. Then it had all it could do just to keep within the atmosphere because it went so freaking fast. So
yes,
and now the U-2 spy plane still in service. That was from the 50s, if I remember correctly. The U-2 is still running around, and that had to come from somewhere. So what's our hypothesis? Someone was really smart. Or they took the technology from somewhere, like a crashed UFO or something from another planet, and we adapt it, we reverse engineer it, just like the Iranians did to our drones.
UCAV drone, that's UCAV right. That's drone. Exactly right.
So
that's exactly right.
You know, or it could be a transformer like Megatron in the bottom of the Hoover Dam, and we just reverse engineered all that. If you saw the Transformers, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you wish.
I saw it, and you didn't, so that's fine.
Anyway, I saw it, too. I liked it as well.
Yes, but that's, that. You know, Sector 7 and all this other stuff.
Yes.
So what's the reality? Who knows? But they had to trot it out in the middle of what's going on with Biden, falling down the stairs, and then, if it wasn't for common sense, it wouldn't be so common. People are waking up to the fact, Alpha, that we're done with this. We don't care about UFOs right now. We care about the way they're usurping our rights and trashing our Constitution. Right. So
well, I think the UFO conversation is very interesting. I think it's a great distraction.
Correct.
However, all at the same time, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, self, if there really are beings walking this planet with me that are not like from here, they're from out of town. I think that's kind of a big story, right? And we probably ought to like kind of figure that out.
Yeah, huge, Tom. Huge.
Because, well, obviously, I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, come on.
But the way they're talking about this,
nobody
stuff,
cares.
Well, that's the thing. But the way they're talking about it right now is it's not any revelation. It's like little tidbits just to distract you. They're talking about objects that. Fighter pilots and everyone else who've seen these things, which I don't doubt them, have been squelched, and they're just giving us little pieces of. They had some hotshot representative from that organization, the secret organization of BS or whatever it was, go on to Capitol Hill, and they had this behind the doors discussion because no one can talk about it because it's so super duper secret, you know. I don't believe any of it. Okay, thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. You know, when I see E.T. Come out of the ship and he wants to go home, I'll worry about it.
Well, you know, in the immortal words of Clint Smith, and a few people out there are going to know who Clint Smith is, you know, someday, you know, when the big spaceship comes down in the front yard, right, and the steam comes out and the door comes rolling down, in the immortal words of Clint Smith, If that fucker coming down the ramp's got a ray gun in his hand, your buddy Alpha here is going to shoot him with a buffalo gun and welcome to the Earth, you know. That's Clint Smith, and he's funny as hell.
Right.
However, I think we need to be open to the reality, aside from all the politics and distraction. What if it's possible? What if it is? Because there's so many things that I know you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've seen that I cannot explain. I cannot. Can't.
It's one of those mysteries.
And you sit there and you chew on your thumbnail a little bit and you go, huh? That's weird.
Interesting.
I think I'm going to keep my fucking mouth shut here because I can't explain it.
Well, yeah. If you open your mouth, people are going to put you into a sanitarium because you have the truth. I mean, that's what truth-telling is now, right? I mean, they call you a conspiracy theorist or a whack job or Professor Tinfoil Hat or whatever they want to call you. And it's just calling common sense. We call balls and strikes. So to me, I think it's just a distraction. I think personally, if there are any real live aliens out there, the Earth is closed because we're all nuts. So don't come here. So we don't want you here. But if they want to come because they want something, they're going to come and take it, and there's not a darn thing we're going to do about it.
That's right.
Because a laser gun is a lot quicker than a bullet.
Well, it's all craziness. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's craziness.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, Area 51, and you've got this place up in Utah, and you've got all these secret bases, and it's all aliens. It's like, okay.
Do I doubt that it's some research going on for the U.S. government? Of course. You know, and it's got to be secret because it makes it more fun. It makes it more fun. Why should we know what they're working on? Because, you know, other people want to take it from you, or they're going to use it against you. And it's more fun when someone else knows and you know nothing, which is interesting, the same parallel that the U.S. government thinks that they know more than we do, and that's why they tell us that we need to stop using fossil fuels. We have to worry about, you know, our money imploding, so we need to go to a cashless society, and it's controlled by the government. Then we have to worry about getting rid of our gas stoves because the environment's going to implode, which we're on, what, year 20, 30 of our lives right now? When the 70s they started, it was too cold. Now it's too warm. Now it's too this. Shut up. Sit down. You don't know what you're talking about, government, because I don't believe you for 2 seconds. Oh, and by the way.
here we go again.
what was the other point of? They want to reset because there's too many people on the Earth, and they're worried that all the finite resources that we've been using are not going to be there anymore. You know, Alpha, real quick, batteries, big topic, Big topic. Oh, sure. There was a big fire somewhere because the lithium ion battery took off, and I said, "Yep, we talked about it a long time ago."
New York City, they're happening all over the place.
Right. There's a ship that went up, you know, some more cars that went up. Anyway, there's a new battery technology. You know, we can sit here and figure this stuff out because we're smart when we want to be, and we can be rather clever. So when you have a sodium ion battery, not lithium, but sodium, remember it's a 2+ versus 2+, you know.
Yeah.
Use sodium. There's plenty of it. It doesn't burn up like the other stuff does.
It does when it hits water.
Sort of. They're talking about different technology for that. Anyway, what I'm saying is, we need to keep our eyes and ears open, and be ready to call BS on people that are trying to run a narrative, and that's what this is all about.
Well, right, it is, and it's fairly disgusting what's going on right now. You know, it's hot outside, it's summer. Let's stop trying to make global warming happen. Okay, it gets hot in the summer.
Yep.
Okay. I said it earlier in the program, and I'll say it again. Washington D.C. is notoriously one of the hottest places on the planet in the summertime.
It also has a lot of concrete.
Well, it's a hot place. It's built in a swamp.
Yep.
For real swamp.
Yep.
It's lowlands. There's no real good breeze. It's terrible here. It's just absolutely awful. Humid, sticky, nasty. Every kid came here as a, you know, every person came here as a kid in the summertime with their parents.
Yep.
And every parent has got a misery tale to tell about their trip to Washington, D.C. because it was so goddamn hot.
That's right.
And our parents went on with that shit for 30 years, how hot it was.
Right.
And you have no idea. You you ungrateful little bastards, that we sweated our asses off in Washington, D.C. for your benefit. So don't give me this bullshit about global warming, okay? We've heard enough.
That's right. Enough. Because it's not trusted science. We're not trusting the science. Anyway.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, we got to talk about Carrie Lake, of course.
Oh, Carrie Lake, your girlfriend, Carrie Lake.
She's not my girlfriend.
What's she doing?
Carrie Lake, just let everyone know that Carrie Hobbs, the 2022 reversal of a decision regarding ballots and verification, and the fact that it wasn't it Katie Hobbs that certified her own election?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, there was someone that shouldn't have certified it, and now they're in bigger trouble. But again, what's going to happen? Only God knows. But that's the latest with Carrie Lake.
Well, I can assure you nothing is going to happen.
Katie Hobbs will still be the stupid governor of Arizona, and that state is going to hell in a handbasket, just like New York.
Well, you know, all the best to them. I mean, you know, you get what you vote for, I suppose, right?
I didn't vote for it, but the problem is that I was forced to indirectly vote for it because they don't like people that have common sense, and we know it's not so common. Anyway.
Right. Exactly.
I think we hit everything on the list there, Alpha?
I think we hit everything on the list. Yeah, you bet. You bet. I'm just going to sit back and watch what's going to happen with this Hunter Biden nonsense over the next couple of weeks.
Well, they have to go back into court and face that judge. And the judge was not so happy when someone from the defense pretended that they were a Republican and forced the retraction of a special, what do you call it?
Amicus brief.
Amicus brief. Yeah, we're not lawyers, but we like to play the terms on TV. Anyway, they said they got to yank that amicus brief, and the judge about had someone's head, was not happy about them tampering with evidence. Sounds like they were tampering with something.
Well, they were trying to manipulate the record there a little bit, and that didn't work out very well for them. So this judge, if I were this judge, I'd lose my patience. But anyhow, right. Everybody, I would definitely lose my patience.
You'd definitely lose your patience.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody, thank you very much for joining us again for another episode of the Signal 50 Podcast. Make sure to, you know, click the like button, share, do all those things. Share the podcast with your friends. You can pick us up just about anywhere. We really appreciate it. We're doing this for fun. We have a great time doing it together. It's a nice break from reality.
That's right. So Kilo will be back next week with his report about the dye experience that he had with diversity, inclusion, and equity. Ah.
Gross. Well, everybody, do us all a favor. Make it a great week. And when you're out there, thank our soldier sailor, Liz Nehrman, for protecting us 24/7, 365. And our police, fire, and EMS that work with us on the streets every single day of the week. They have a tough job. They're very unappreciated. And just try to go out of your way to tell them how much you appreciate what they do for you. Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, everyone. Care.